With a rending shock tearing through the sky, another bolt of lightning followed by a terrible rolling clap of thunder that shakes your very souls. You can see the flash of light in the direction that you know that he was, somewhere out there, and the direction that Maris had just gone in. Barkus, you're up. What do you do?
Okay. Barkus is going to... let's see. Looking around himself, just so that I can reestablish kind of where we're at, he had gotten within, I want to say, 100 feet. Min was behind. Ruka and Jack were kind of down and around, not on a line with them, but kind of closer to the ground, right?
I think you guys were all pretty close to each other.
Okay. All right. Then I don't think he's going to be able to reach the 100 foot mark if he charges. His fly speed is the same as his walk speed, right? With the spell on
it. If it's the
him.
Fly spell, that you have a 60 foot fly speed and you're also hasted, so total 90 feet.
Oh, good grief. Then his charge would be 180 feet. I think he'll use... Can he charge in? And if he spots... I guess if he comes into view of the creature, he wants to just barrel into it with Gorm's Thorn, if he can. I don't even know if it would be considered like a sneak attack or what, but just blazing in there for a strike.
You could charge. You have to charge in a straight line. So you could charge for that space. However, you wouldn't necessarily be sure if you had hit. So I would give him a 20% miss chance. So if you roll a hit, you would essentially roll a out of 100. If you got a 1 to 20, then it would be a miss.
Makes sense.
Okay, then if you would like to do it, you can.
Yeah.
Keep in mind that this is outside of the bubble. Maris specifically left the bubble.
That's true. Okay. Well, he is going to engage with melee if possible, so hopefully that should be something that... I mean, if it was a ranged attack, it would make a big difference, but I think he's just going to get in there and try to do some damage. Actually, if I could... He already drew... He's got Gorm's Thorn out already, I'm pretty sure. He can't swap him out while he's flying and keep the charge going. We'll just go ahead and go for it with Gorm's Thorn. Yep, so he's gonna straight line, go toward where he last saw the dragon and assumes it still is. So let's see what happens. Okay, so rolled up an 18 plus temporary stats, charging, power attack, no scabbard of vigor, worm hatred, beast might, drake anatomist, haste, and doubly enlarged, and good hope. I'm not certain that's the right.
And Hunter's Blessing.
Hunter's Blessing doesn't stack. Barkus is already a dragon hunter, and the worm hatred feature that he has is basically the same thing. So
nice.
Yeah. One second. Quick numbers game. -3, -3, -7.
Wait. No, just the one. Minus three. Plus four. It's one. One is two. Minus one is...
Okay, so yes. Total 39 to hit with the sword.
39?
Oh, and... Yeah. Uh-huh. Sorry, and if it's... If it hits, Gorm's Thorn is a keen greatsword, so it's 17 to 20 to crit if he hits.
All right. 39 just hits.
Hey, nice. Okay, great.
So go ahead and let me get out some d20s here. Actually, I'll tell you what. Tell me what set of 20 out of the D100 that you want to be the miss.
Well, I mean, 91 to 100.
So you want it to be the top, it would be 81 to 100.
Oh, that would right, be 20, the miss. My bad. Well, never mind. We'll keep it the bottom 20 then. That's fine, just for simplicity's sake.
Okay. Then that's what we'll go with. Do you know what I rolled?
All right.
A 95.
Hey!
But awesome. You chose to keep it at the bottom, so you there did hit.
Cool. Now, let's see if it confirms. No, not as good. Nine and... Don't think I have any bonuses to... add on top of that for confirming hits, but let me just be sure. Nope, nothing on a Dragon Disciple. No Ranger stuff. Nope. Okay, well, that's all right. It is a demigod dragon creature. So, that's all right. Yeah, total comes out to 30 to confirm.
A total of 30 to confirm the critical?
Yes.
All right. Unfortunately, a 30 does not beat his AC.
I didn't figure. Okay. That's all right. That first hit will still be... it looks like... Now Gorm's Thorn is very magical. So, is there anything... That was weird. Is there anything I'm removing from my damage total?
You should be able to calculate your damage like normal. Gorm's Thorn doesn't have any specific damage types that it does, so it's just slashing damage.
Okay, slashing damage that... Okay, okay, great. So he's dishing out 54 points of damage, and I need Virga to make a caster level check.
That would be a 36.
36 does not... I mean, it's not... It's damage, right? It's 10 plus damage is the caster level check. So, he doesn't beat 64, yep. Then he loses his spell resistance for one round.
All right. Spell resistance down, and he definitely feels that come off. That's true. Actually... does the sword say if that's a crit ability?
Let's see. What I wrote down says on a hit,
It's a caster level check versus 10 plus damage, or you lose your spell resistance for one round. I wrote it down that way, and I want to say he has confirmed it against other things.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think we've let it go in the past, so. I forgot what they called them in Critical Role. But the artifact is awakening.
Oh, the vestige.
Its power is
okay.
growing. So, yes. So his spell resistance is down. Let it be so.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any kind of, like, magical effect, but Barkus has been using this weapon for a while, so he's going to telepathically let everyone know that it worked, and spells should have the kind of effect they're going to need at this point. That was his... Now, he charged in, which automatically gives the move you need to get there, and you do the one round of attacking. Haste does not give him another hit, does it?
Not on a charge, no.
Okay. No more tricks on his standard action or his, you know, attack action there. I believe that is it for him at this point. So that will be it. He's landed his hit. He's feeling good.
All right. And you are close enough in the storm to see where Maris is. You kind of soared past her. You can see she's still alert. She's still definitely up and squaring off with the dragon. So you're not the only one there, but she definitely looks seriously hurt. That brings us to Philia.
At this point, there's only one dragon left, or do we still see more?
At this point, there is only one dragon left. However, he is about 100 feet away from you, and he is beyond the bubble. So, the bubble's 100 feet. I think he's actually about 150 feet away.
Who was it you were saying that looked hurt, Jack?
Maris. Oh. But you can't see Maris yet.
I guess I should hold an action for the bubble to move.
Okay, you want to move with the bubble?
Yeah. Firing an arrow into that must probably not going to do anything.
Yeah, outside of the bubble, your arrows would be blown off course immediately. Okay, so holding your action to move with the bubble, that brings us to, let me get some higher lows. So, Philia, give me higher low.
Hi.
All right, and Min, give me a higher low.
Also high.
And Ruka, give me a higher low.
Let's stick with the high road.
All right, and Barkus, higher low.
go low this time.
Okay. Then comes to Jack, and Jack will go ahead and move forward, and she's going to essentially just move forward until the bubble reveals where the dragon is, but she's going to keep him about 90 feet away from her. So just far enough that like 10 feet of his body is in the bubble, and you can see where Barkus is, you can see Maris and all of her grisly gore, but that's where she will stop. And then it comes to Maris. And Maris is, she squares off with the dragon. She sees Barkus as he's just slammed into the dragon and stabbed it. She can't take advantage of the lack of spell resistance, though, unfortunately. But she is going to attempt to go to town on him, as she's going to say, "I'd give you a message to take back to your mother, but I expect she'll get it either way." And with that, she will then attack. So she will go ahead and... let's see. Yes, she's going to pounce. So she's going to go ahead and charge him, and then she's going to pounce to be able to get her attacks. All right. Out of all of her attacks, only two of them hit. One of the bites and one of the claws. So I'll go ahead and roll those damage. All right, so she immediately bursts forward on the dragon and is suddenly just at its throat, wailing and slashing and cutting with her claws and trying to rip at his scales as he tries to shake her off, and even going so far as just to bite into his scales with enough force to crack some of the scales where she bit down on. So before damage reduction, that is 101 points of damage. After damage reduction is not quite that much. Actually, wait a minute. She has, it's true. Okay, so some of the damage reduction is not going to count. He's looking pretty bad off. He's still going. But he is definitely hurt bad. And you can tell that he is pushed back. He's off balance. He's suddenly being pressed, and he was probably attempting his escape and did not expect to be pursued or caught up with the way this has gone. Ruka, you are next.
Your description has me changing what I was planning to do. So, how far away is Ruka at this point?
Ruka is 150 feet away from him, and you can see him. You are within the bubble still, and you can see him now in the far end of the bubble.
Is in range. Okay, she was going to take a round to buff, but if he's looking like he's about to bolt again, Ruka will go ahead and activate Dimensional Dervish and have a set of attacks, which I need to roll now.
All right, and as you are Dimensional Dervishing in, and you know you're rolling for a 38. That's what you're going for. Yep. So just let me know the number of them that hit. You can see where some of his scales are ripped away. There's huge gashes. I mean, Gorum's thorn is still plunged into his chest where Barkus drove it in. And it seems to be pulsing into him. He is in rough shape at this point.
Well, it's starting better, and then I missed three of the claw attacks. Let's see, that is three unarmed hits, one claw attack hit, and one tail hit.
All right, go ahead and roll damage.
So her attacks currently count as magic and silver. And there is also additional fire damage. Do these all stack, or do I need to list things separately?
I think you can stack all those up. That should be fine.
Great. That's 111 points of bludgeoning slashing.
And how many attacks was this out of? Three, I think, right?
One, two, three, four, five.
You had five hits?
Correct. She actually rolled better this round than she has for a while.
Okay. And you did 100 and how much damage?
111 points of bludgeoning slashing, and I'm still rolling the fire. And 56 points of fire damage.
So that's 166 points of damage.
167 points of damage.
167. DR taken into account. And also your ability to bypass most of his DR. How would you like to do this?
At this point, Rick is actually more annoyed at Verga than anything else, because he's in the way of her true target here. So she just goes in, hits from one direction, from another, just shreds his face, and then teleports away back toward the city and doesn't even look at him.
All right. So as you just strike back and forth, side to side, Barkus, you're still holding on to Gorham's thorn, which is still plunged into his chest. So Ruka is flashing around you as much as she is around the dragon. Maris is holding on with her own claws, just holding on to half-broken scales on the side of his neck. And the both of you are just in this orb of attacks that Ruka is making from all these different directions. And as the three of you yank and pull and tear and twist the blade, Verga seems to lose all strength and begins to fall out of the sky.
However, even
as Verga is falling, which you guys can fly, so you don't have to fall with him, although you'll want to remove your sword. As he falls, you watch as his body begins to turn to a vapor. And before he even reaches the bottom of the storm, he has dissipated. However, almost immediately, you sense that the storm is letting up.
Huh.
You begin to hear the sound of other dragons. Dragons that did not dare challenge Verga for his prize. But now that Verga is dead, there's both the opportunity for them to come in, but also the fear that whatever could kill Verga, do they want to go in? And you can begin to hear this chorus of barking and scrying and screeching and howling of the different dragons on the edges of the storm, hidden within the storm, but not close enough to have taken any of the significant damage from it. And now, as they know the storm is beginning to fade, there seems to be an uncertainty in what you can pick up from their draconic words. It's hard to hear, it's rather distorted, but there seems to be uncertainty and fear. The slayers of Verga. And they're not sure what to do with that.
Barkus will let out the loudest roar he can possibly muster and just scream out, "Run," in the draconic language.
Give me an... Let's see, I tell you what, hold on to that thought, because we're going to stay in initiative order. Min is next, but when we get back to Barkus, I want you to make an intimidate check for that. But Min, go ahead.
Min, seeing Verga fall and dissipate into the storm and across the ground, she turns back towards the city and sees that Ruka is already on her way back, and she says, "We need to return. Protect as many people as we can." And we can feel the storm is letting up, correct?
Yes, you can feel that the wind is slacking off. Of course, you're within the bubble, but as you look around you at the storm, you can see that it is lightening. the edges are not just this eye wall of blasting wind and rain and darkness. Now light is starting to come through as the clouds dissipate.
I do not know if I have another fight in me, but we have to return, see how the city does.
And she will turn, and actually, before she goes, she is going to make her way over to Maris, and almost as a parting gesture, if you would, will place a hand on her and will use her a second level spell slot to recreate Cure Moderate Wounds.
All right, and it is maximized. So what does that come to?
I believe it's 2d8 plus level, and I need to make sure it doesn't cap out at 10th as opposed to...
I think moderate does cap out at 10.
That sounds right.
So that would be 26 points.
That is correct, and she'll just look at her, look at Maris, look her in the eyes, nod, and then begin making her way back towards the city as quickly as she can go.
All right, and you get there, and you know that this is Kalek. She's in the Kalek form, and her body should not still be alive by the injury it sustained from the lightning. She takes the healing, and it does begin to mend some of those wounds and close up the hole. And Kalek looks over at you and gives you a nod of thanks.
I mean, has words for her, but she's not sure if this is the time. But move in standard, that would be it. The end of section turn.
All right, very good. Then that brings us, it would bring us to Virga, but Virga is no more. Congratulations on that. Barkus, let's start with that intimidation check.
You got it. My second 9 that I've rolled tonight, but 9 plus 18 is 27 on that intimidate check.
All right. You hear, as you yell out into the storm and your voice carries on the wind, calling out in Draconic with a roar of your own that would rival some dragons that you've heard and that you fought and killed. You can sense that you have had an effect, and there's more fear, there's more uncertainty, and even some of the other dragon voices starting to say retreat, pull back. So congratulations, that's a good intimidate roll. So beyond that, what would Barkus like to do?
If there are any little ones floating around. Actually, no, he's done the big move there. I think Barkus is going to try to find... He'll fly down to where Jack is and ostensibly Randy. If you say we're still in initiative, then I guess he's going to look around and see what targets are potentially threatening or nearby at all as he's making his way down.
At this point, you don't see any targets. In a sense, you guys have a bit of a lull here where you can regroup, but you are at this point about 600 feet away from the city and about 100 feet up from the city.
Okay.
So you guys are well away from the city.
Yeah. Barkus will use his flight, and as he makes his way kind of in the trail in the train of men, I suppose, headed kind of towards the city. He's going to once again swap the gigantic sword into his vest and pull out the rifle, which he will take the requisite time to clear and reload with magic ammunition so that it's got two shots and it's cleared and ready to go.
Okay, very good. Philia, what are you doing?
Yes, Philia will also look around, make sure there's no threats within 100 feet of her, and she'll start retreating with the rest of the people.
Okay. And Randy and Jack move with you guys, and you guys are all essentially using the flight spell, so that's a 60-foot movement speed. So it would probably take you, what, 180? So we'll say about 3 rounds to get back to the city as far as just movement, unless anybody wants to move faster than that.
Min would like to do a thing or two on the way there.
Okay, and Maris is also going with you guys.
How long does the fairy cap still affect Barkus?
10 minutes.
Okay. And for, I guess, just how long has it been since we started combat, Mr. GM?
Mechanically, it has been... I think it's probably been almost 2 minutes.
Okay.
However, thematically, I would like to think it took longer than 2 minutes to kill a demigod. So, thematically,
well, it's like an anime, you know, where it takes 2 hours, or it takes several episodes. Several hour and a half long character arcs to accomplish an entire battle. Yeah, for sure.
So I would say that as you guys are coming back, you began this fight. Let's see. You guys had teleported there in the morning, correct? Because you had intended to teleport the next day. It was after you'd gotten Ruka free, and you were going to teleport back. So it might have been, we'll say, about noon, a little bit before noon when you got there. So it is, at this point, as the storm is dissipating, the light is also failing as it is going into nighttime. The sun is setting over the Westermar Sea, and it's just starting to peek through the storm, but at the same time, it's also a dwindling light. So the storm has still got it pretty dark over everything.
I'm gonna assume that the fairy cap lasts 10 minutes. Then he's probably still gonna stay large from that. Although I think he's going to consciously let he's probably gonna let enlarged person drop, I think, so that he goes down one category. That should help with his dex. Yeah, other than that, I can't think of any other changes to make yet.
Right.
So, Ruka's turn, are we keeping initiative for the moment?
We'll just loosely, we'll kind of go through, and each of you can tell me what you're doing on your way there. So, Barkus is letting himself drop down a size category. So what is, I think it technically would have been Ruka next. What is Ruka up to? And then we'll get to Min.
So if we're just doing a 3-round movement, Ruka can move 110 with haste. So she's moving with the rest of the group, but ahead, say 30 feet. First round, she's going to cast Evolution Surge and will go up a size category to match Barkus's now current size.
Nice.
And the second round, she will recast Haste. Third round, she's just moving.
Thank you. First round for Min. Min is actually going to pull out a vial that she has had since the very beginning of the game, Troll Step Deck, and she is going to down it. Which for the next six rounds, she has Fast Healing 2, which is the only thing that can actually heal her at the moment. So she'll end up with 12 Troll Stiptic. She'll end up with.
That is a new word. Nice.
All right, very good.
She'll gain 12 hit points back eventually. Which is better than nothing.
All right, then as you guys come back to the city, all of you kind of rocketing back towards the city, flying through the air together, you come within sight of Nethys Girl. Looking at it from above is a bit of a different view. You're not accustomed to seeing the city from a bird's eye view. But one of the things you notice, as soon as you get within about 300 feet of the city, the air temperature drops. And you realize that the closer you get, the colder it is getting. Until by the time you get to the walls, it is frigid. It is an Arctic chill within the walls, within the first layer of the city, I should say. And the walls themselves glint with a strange sheen in the dim light that is there until you realize that they are coated in ice. The streets, cobbled as they are, seem almost to, they almost seem to glint with the same glossy shine of that dim light, as the streets themselves are also covered in ice. You can see up the sides of buildings, around the corners of the wall, over doorways. Some places stronger than others. You can see where the gate is. There is a massive tower-sized glacier, for lack of a better word, that has driven itself up, pushing back the ground a little bit, and placing itself right in the center on the inside of the gate.
The beacon if I ever saw one. Oh, and I forgot to mention, on the second round, Min would have cast a message on the group to ensure that Maris was included in our conversations.
Very good. Alright, then we'll go ahead and jump in at the top of the initiative. So Min, we'll say we're coming in at the about 100 feet out, and you guys are up in the air. What do you want to do?
Min will say, we should try to find the Arcanium, see where they stand, see if they have anything for us. Even if it is just a moment or two, some of us could really use it.
And Min is basically out of buffs that she can give her companions at this time. But she's going to try and steer towards the Arcanium to see if they're still okay, to see what they might still have, etc.
Okay, so the Arcanium is located on the third level, and the levels are not stacked right on top of each other like Minas Tirith or something like that. It's almost like four different towns built ascending up the side of the mountain with connecting roads that work between them. So you can look up and you see that there is a place where the ice stops. And you remember that the scholars and the magic casters of the Arcanium were intending to try to protect the upper city, to try to keep back anything. So it looks like they're still doing that. It looks like they're still active. Go ahead and give Perfect. Me a perception check since you're looking around everything.
Excellent. I was also going to ask if there are visible airship. Total 30 on perception.
So the airships, at first you don't see them and you fear the worst, but you also don't see any wrecked airships. And looking around, you catch sight of the airships, but they are a fair distance off to the east. And there's this moment where you think that perhaps they decided it was best to go back and try to do what they could for the Verdant Sea. And maybe they were leaving the battle. But as you watch them, you can see that they are tacking and fighting against the storm. And that in reality, being airships, there was no way they could maintain a close proximity to the city so long as they were subject to Virga's storm. But with Virga gone now and the winds losing their force, you can see that they are working to try to make their way back to the city. You also can see what looks like at first a group of people down in the street pretty close to where the ice glacier is, just kind of standing there, and they're not moving. There's maybe about 15 of them or so.
Do they appear to have fur?
Yep.
Well, it's hard to see. They're just kind of their forms. They look like they're bulky fighters, probably. But it's difficult to make out a lot of detail.
Amelia, you got those cool goggles on. Can you see what's down there? Is that the captain?
As we, I will look out for that as we approach.
All right, so Min, if you want to use your move to head up towards the third level of the city and the Arcanium, you can do that.
I would.
Okay, so Min peels off and starts going back up the side of the mountain, and it'll take you a couple of rounds to get there.
All right,
that brings us to Barkus.
Right. Well, I think... Yeah, he's going to... He'll take his turn to ask Philia to take a look. Because if that's the captain, they're going to end up being his priority. So if that means we can drop Barkus down below Philia in the order, that's fine. But, yeah, he wants to ascertain... from a distance, if he can, if that is, in fact, Claddagh and the others. I mean, I guess he could roll perception. He's got pretty high perception, but that didn't sound promising.
You can roll perception. Is that where you're headed? Down in that direction?
Yes, that will be his target. So, I tell you what, he does have... if I may, while he was reloading and adjusting the gun, he used the far-reaching sight before the fighting started to get a look at the walls. And I remember when he was shooting at Virga, he didn't have it put on. Is it okay if on the flight over, he's got the sight put back on the gun now?
You had to clear it and you had to reload it. And you're moving.
With his grit powers, can he do that?
Sure. We'll let it go.
Okay, cool. Then he'll use the far-reaching sight to maybe help him out. But yeah, he'll roll perception. He wants to see if that's them before he goes taking off in their direction. All right. 14 plus 24 is 38.
Okay, 38 is good. Some of them are cat. Some of them look like they're human. It's a little hard to get details because they are all coated in ice. There's some of them are bigger than others, but the ice kind of gives them all that kind of frosted over look that hides a lot of the details you'd get from, like, oh, there's fur there, or that one is, you know, this color or this color.
There's, oh, well, I was thinking of Lebenhoff, not Hasselhoff. I was going to ask if there was a Minotaur. That's the wrong thing. Never mind. Are any of the mounds of ice like really huge, like the size of Dran, a Makaya Katten?
There are some of them that are as big as Dran. None of them are as big as Hasselhoff.
Okay, great. Then, yeah, he's going to operate under the assumption that that's the Guild of Arms. I'm not really sure how he's going to get them unfrozen, but... Well, he plans on getting them loose one way or another, so... What was that? Alright, never mind. It's just me. Okay, he's going to fly toward the frozen people. Try to get them loose.
Okay, you get down there, and you can, as you get closer, you can identify, okay, that one is definitely one of the Korthalian guard. That one, yeah, that's one of, that looks like a Katten, not one of the Guild of Arms. You are pretty familiar with the people at Guild of Arms because you went there quite a bit. You saw their pictures on the wall. Some of these are from Drake Hall. Some of them are from Guild of Arms. Some of them are city guards. It would look like there was a combining of the remaining forces in the lower city. And these are sort of the casualties of that fight. Let me ask you a question. Describe to me how you come down and try to get them out, or what you would like to do. The ground is covered in like black ice. It's, as you get closer now, you can see the cobblestones through it. It's very transparent, but there's definitely ice over everything.
Okay. Then knowing that, noting that, Barkus will fly in Superman style with the spell and then kind of hover over the ground, not worry about putting his feet down. He doesn't want to slip.
graceful, but not that graceful. I think, let's see. He will take a look at, I guess he's looking for signs of life. I realize these guys are frozen in their tracks, but if this is, you know, a high fantasy setting, I'm wondering if they're all like toast or not. So he's looking for signs of life here before he tries to start busting people out. Eyes moving, right, or anything like that.
You take essentially the rest of your turn. You do not find any signs of life. The one that you are able to kind of get close to and you look at, the person's eyes are open. They look like they were in the midst of almost, you know, raising their arms up to try to block something. And they were frozen in place where they stood. But you don't see any movement.
None of the classic, like, I tap on the face, ice, and, like, his eye doesn't move to see.
No, unfortunately not. Do you tap on, you tap on the ice? Well, let's see.
Yeah, he's going to...
You tap on the ice? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You tap on the ice.
Boy.
And his eye does not move.
Yep.
But I need you to make a reflex save.
Oh, boy. I need to make a reflex save. Okay. Well, here we go. Ooh, I rolled a 3, but with the bonuses currently active, that is 19 total.
Did you tap on it like a fingertip, or was it like a knuckle tap?
With his claw, it was like tink, tink, tink.
All right, so you got the tink, tink, and then on the third one, when it hit, suddenly the ice seemed to grow forward and consume your claw.
Oh,
and you are now frozen to the statue. You
okay.
are at, you are considered grappled, and you will need to break that grapple. You have, yeah.
I walked into it. That's fair. Oh, boy.
All right. That brings us about to the end of Barkus's turn. Philia. Barkus went down, Min went up. What would you like to do?
I'm gonna go follow Barkus, but Philia will fly
telepathically
lower.
Telling everyone, don't touch the ice.
Philia will fly lower, and the potion of flight is probably gonna be wearing off, if not already. So she's gonna be riding close up to the, seeing what Barkus is doing, I guess. And she's going to fire, she's actually going to shoot her Ashwood longbow around the ice that he is tapping, or that he was, to kind of try to melt it a little bit. Fire arrows.
Okay, so you are going to fire a fire arrow at the frozen face of this guy and also at Barkus's claw. Correct?
Not at his claw. I'm going to fire it around him.
Yes.
So
but
she's
this
aiming
is...
for the arm, I guess?
So... You either are going to have to aim for the face of the frozen person or Barkus's arm, essentially. If you want to be able to apply the heat to give him a bonus for breaking this thing out, you're going to have to let me know where you intend to stick the arrow. His claw is touching the frozen face.
All right. I guess he didn't say they were dead, so I'll just fire the arrows around this person, kind of surrounding them. So, because I don't want to necessarily shoot somebody if they're still alive.
They're not alive! They're super dead! I'm communicating all of this telepathically! We have an ongoing conversation in our heads! You know everything that's happening!
Okay. Alright, well then I'm going to shoot close to the face then.
Alright, go ahead and make your shot.
You're aiming for their ear.
Don't singe my whiskers.
Abigail stole my dice. That would be 38.
Hits his ear. Yes. Go ahead and tell me your damage. Go ahead and tell me all of your damage, but also tell me the fire damage.
Four points of damage and 2 points of fire damage.
Okay. The arrow hits the ice, and Barkus, you know the power behind these arrows. You've seen Phileas shoot before. The arrow barely sinks into the ice. It does do some damage to the ice, but the ice is incredibly resilient and deceptively thick. However, I will go ahead and let you, because she chose to do this for you, you can go ahead and as a reaction try to break out of the grapple with the ice.
Cool. Okay, that's a combat maneuver.
Yes, it would be your combat maneuver bonus. So d20 plus your bonus.
Okay. Nice. Rolled up an 18 plus 15 is 33.
All right, you very quickly snap your claw out of the ice and pull it back. And now there's this weird little spike ice that's growing like off of the cheekbone of this frozen soldier where it had connected with your claw. But you are free.
Yeah, those guys are no good to us. And that'll do it. Thank you!
All right, that brings us to Randy. Randy's going to come down, and he will make himself busy in the background. Jack will come down, bringing her sphere of influence with her. And even as she comes, you notice that the temperature lightens up a little bit, but it is not enough to cause the ice to be restrained. Maris is going to come down as well, and she is going to immediately, she's going to offer to you all through the communication, say, if any of you need it, I think I have another potion of invisibility.
I guess we could say that through a roundabout way, probably talking with Jack and then Jack talking to Maris, Min will say, if it would dig it if the dragons did not have means of seeing the truth.
Well, they have means of seeing if they're close enough.
Perhaps when I return then. Unless someone else wants it.
All right. Well, you know where to find me. And with that, she is actually going to just go invisible herself with an ability. And she's going to begin searching for their target. All right, as of yet, she is not successful. Moving on, Ruka, it is your turn.
Ruka is going to, from her vantage point up where her turn starts, look around to see if she can spot the source of the eyes, looking for Amon.
Okay, give me a perception check.
Eighteen. Due to, yes, bonuses of perception against dragons.
Okay, so as you're looking, you don't see him. However, you can see that the city seems like it's very much frozen over down here. However, the Penny Road district is not the main target. It seems like that one, while it is definitely frozen, that's not the worst. And as you look, you get the impression that a little bit further up, closer to the internal gate that would lead up to the second level, that the cold is more intense there. There's a low-hanging mist or a fog just kind of hanging in the air over those streets, obscuring vision a little bit. Not so much because it's a heavy fog as it's just that intense cold effect in the air. Everything is covered in ice, but closer to the internal gates seems like that is colder. You get the impression that whatever force came in here created the glacier at the gate and then essentially moved straight towards the back gates, moving slowly and just letting the ice creep out sideways into the city.
So into the telepathic bond, Ruka will point that out. Looks like he went this way. I'm heading for him. She will take her movement 110 feet up that direction, and while she moves, she'll reach a hand into her bag, and similar to a few rounds ago, a light will appear and suck into her body.
Okay, and quick question. How many of you are immune or resistant to cold?
Resistant-ish.
Ruka cast immunity to cold. Last round.
All right. Good to know. All right, then that brings us to Min. Min, this is your second round, headed towards the third level. You'll be there next round. Is there anything you would like to say, or you can't really do an action if you're full round moving, but is there anything that you'd like to say or do while you're flying there?
She'll just let Ruka know, be careful. If you find him, let us know immediately. Fighting alone would do you no good here. And she's gonna keep heading in the direction she was heading.
Okay, Barkus, you're up.
I think Barkus is going to gesture Thelia to follow, and he's going to fly. He's going to follow Min. Although he will keep kind of a... Yes, thank you, buddy. He's going to keep... I know you can't necessarily, like, just ping perception checks, but he's going to keep an eye open as he's following along so that he can possibly spot something before the others do.
Okay, and he's following Min up to the third level, or is he following
Ruka? Oh, excuse me. Sorry, he's following Ruka toward where she thinks Amund is.
Okay.
Yeah. Can he, I guess... He doesn't get a perception check on the round. He's just going to follow, I'm pretty sure. Keep his eyes peeled.
All right, what is your passive perception? Just if you rolled a 10, what would it be?
I think that would be 34, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I would say that you are able to see what Ruka's talking about. There seems to be more of an intensity to the cold, and the ice is thicker in the middle, following the main road through the first layer of the city.
Gotcha.
So you begin going that way, Thelia. Where do you go?
I'm going to follow Barkus and on my horse, and he's actually not he's actually, his hooves aren't touching the ground. He's just walking slightly above the ground. So he's not bothered by the ice and such.
Okay.
Also, since he's just walking, she's going to spend her time. She's going to be looking into the fog and seeing if she could see anything moving around or any threats or any people maybe in danger or anything like that.
Sure. Go ahead and give me a perception check. Okay. As you look up the street, you can see more figures standing in the cold, fog-filled space. Just standing. They look like maybe they had half fallen over, were leaned up against something, or were in the midst of running. But they are just standing. And as you get closer to them, and as Jack gets closer and some of that fog is pushed back and broken up, you can see they're more frozen warriors. However, it's hard to tell exactly who they are, if they're Catan, if they are Guild of Arms, things like that. It's hard to distinguish unless you take time to identify them. As you continue moving forward, though, you do not spot the dragon. All right, that brings us then to Maris is continuing her hunt as well. All right. All right. Give me just a second. All right. That brings us back to Ruka. Ruka, go ahead and give me another perception check as you are searching.
All right. Mm, 21.
What was it?
21.
All right. You guys continue moving back, but you do not, you don't see the dragon. You do see more of the figures that Philia had seen as you guys are all kind of making your way slowly up the main road. All right. Is there anything else?
Yeah, Ricker will move her 110 feet. As a move action, and as she moves, a glow will form around her again as she casts Enlarge Person and goes out.
Okay, hold
another...
on. Just a second. You moved 110 feet?
Yes, that's her movement speed.
All right, so at that point, you do move past him, and he's going to take an attack of opportunity.
Okay. Mission accomplished.
Indeed. All right, that is a 50 to hit.
Normal AC?
You are flat-footed.
That loses dex, and does that lose dodge too?
Yes.
Yeah, then it does hit.
All right, then you take 34 points of damage as he snaps out at you and closes very real, very cold, ice-encrusted teeth on you. Snapping down on you before you're able to pry yourself free. And he does not maintain any kind of a bite.
Okay. Mechanically speaking, that is slashing?
Yes. 34 points of slashing damage. Alright. And he is there. Just a second, and I'll give you a picture of him.
Does he just pop into existence?
He was hidden. He had stealthed. And so, yes, he essentially does loom out of the fog from a side street and attack as she went by.
Now, I will stick with the original sequence of events. Thematically, her size would have been increasing as she was moving. So, as the bite hits her enlarging form, her head snaps over toward him. Finally found you.
And he just hisses a growling, warping, cracking sound like ice that is like ice that is moving in a glacier. It's really a weird sound. If you've ever watched a video on YouTube of the kind of music that ice can make, and the sounds that come out of a glacier as the ice is moving and cracking deep within, that's what it sounds like. So it's almost weirdly beautiful in an incredibly sinister way. This will give you an idea of what it sounds like. But Ruka, you have your next action, so you could take an action if you want.
Standard to move, or move to move, standard to enlarge.
Okay, so is that your turn. Is that the casting of a spell?
No, oh, does he have... combat reflexes. Yes, it is a casting of a spell.
All right, he's gonna bite you again.
So, question on how the house rule for enlarge works then. Since it's supposed to normally be a full round action, but it was house ruled to it could be a standard, but the last thing of your turn. Would it be move and then standard, so two attack of opportunity events? Or would it be something that started before the move and continued through the move?
Technically, mechanically, you move and then you grow in size.
Okay.
So... that's mechanically, that's how it works. He got another 50 to hit. Does that
this
hit?
Time it is not, would it still be flat footed or no?
No, it is not flat footed because you know where he is.
Okay, then that does not hit. Ruka raises her hands and pushes back the teeth.
And as you go to push them back, it's more you that gets shunted back out into the intersection of the street as the teeth snap shut. And there is a fierce gust of icy, frigid air that pours past you from the force of his jaws. But he is not able to hit you. And as you finish enlarging then, the rest of you see... as Ruka kind of gets shunted back out into the street, enlarging and obviously squaring off against some. And I'm not sure why this sound file is not working.
It is. It's just very quiet.
Okay, it is working. All right, then. That brings us to Min. Min, you have reached the top.
All right, and I'm assuming through the telepathic bond, Ruka has informed them that she has found Almond and has engaged. And Min curses under her breath. But she knows that she's much close. She's going to be of significantly less help this time around, unless she can possibly get the aid of others. So she's going to finish going towards the Arcanium.
Okay, you get there, and you still have an action. As you get there, you can see that the staff, or the faculty, and even the students of the Arcanium have organized themselves and have set up in several different groups and are actively working to maintain barrier spells and spells of protection, working to control the weather, control the temperature, holding back the cold to try to keep this part of the city safe. And it really hasn't been ravaged. This area is in pretty good condition. As you come in, you can see the counselors. You can see where they're kind of gathered over to the side and trying to plan and make directions for what to do. What would you like to do? Who are you looking for?
Men seeing some of the counselors in the head. I'm trying to remember the name of the woman that you spoke with before.
Let's see. If you're talking about the Archon of the Arcanium.
Yes.
That would be Lisa Francharon.
Lisa Francharon. Excellent. She's going to do a quick scan to see if she sees her. If she does, she'll talk with her directly because she knows who Min is.
Yes. And she is... it looks like she's coming back from having been talking with the council. So she's headed back over to kind of check on the defenses that her teachers and her students are putting up.
All right. Min will make her way over to her, and she'll say, Lady Lisa, the front line calls for aid. Verga has fallen, but Armand has been engaged. Any aid that you can provide would be greatly appreciated.
What kind of aid do you need?
Protection from cold, as she indicates everywhere around. And another strange request. If you have Make Hole Greater, I would greatly appreciate its casting.
That should not be a problem. Where is your golem? Or is it perhaps for one of the airships?
For I bring it with me. I will instruct its proper casting when it is available.
Very well. And she will direct one of the other teachers that's close by. And she will connect you and say, see to whatever she needs. She's asked for a casting of, did you say greater make whole?
Yes, and protection from energy cold.
That should be easy enough for anyone to do. See to it. Is there anything else you need? I'm quite busy.
I understand. We have found the dragon. My companions may need aid as well, but they are much closer to the danger.
We have set up a barrier just beyond the gates between the second city and the second level and the first level. And that's where the force of the fighting has taken place, to hold back this wall of ice and death that would like to come up. There were those who did their best to hold it back in the first city, but I do not know about them. Still, there are some that are between the second level and the first level. You may find that they are able to aid you.
Indeed. Then I shall search for them and try to bring them to where they can make the most use.
And Min will stay until she can get those two castings and then begin to return. And that would end Min's turn.
Okay. And for speed of things, I will say that within this round, they're able to facilitate both of those castings for you.
Thank goodness.
All right, that brings us back to Barkus.
Okay. Can Barkus see Amund now that he has shown himself?
Yes, you can see the front of his head poking out from
bang,
beside
bang.
A building. It is
bang, bang.
As, essentially as big as a building. Did you guys get the picture
Fantastic.
I shared earlier?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay, Fantastic. So imagine that. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
All right. Bang, bang. Two shots. Now, I did say that he loaded the crazy special magic bullets, so we'll see if the maximized super special bullets do the kind of damage we want.
Yes, we will.
All right, let's see if he hits. Okay. 15. That's 37 to hit his touch AC. On the first shot.
That's a hit.
All right. Change my modifiers here. Okay. That is 36 points of damage to start. It is a magic musket at this point. I mean, it's a plus one gun. So I guess that should still count. Assuming we got the same kind of thing going that we did with Virga. And then the magic bullets are supposed to do 36 cold damage flat, but I have a suspicion that's not really going to play into this.
Yeah, he is immune to cold damage.
Yeah, I suspected as much. Okay. Very well. Then, I mean, second shot, he's just going at it all the same. He will, before the round is over, mentally reach out to Min about, you know, these bullets are cold and they're not the best. But, so if there's anything else to help out with, that'd be great. But, second shot.
What was the damage off the first shot before you roll that?
36 points gotcha. Of piercing damage, I guess.
Okay, and yeah. That is a magical rifle, so.
Yes, and 6 of that is bleeding damage, by the way. I keep forgetting to mention that. His necklace does that where he can do bleed damage. If it can happen on a demigod dragon.
Okay, good to know. Go ahead and take that second shot.
I actually rolled another 15. So 5 off of the last roll. We're looking at...
You're still going to hit.
That way. Yeah. Okay. And damage this time. Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Another 36 points. Nice.
Okay. As you fire into him and the bullets impact blasting ice and scale, leaving definite impact points. It's weird when they strike. And Ruka, for a moment, your heart quails within you as you watch where they strike. Snow and ice descend in chunks. Is this a simulacrum? Is this him? But he is the dragon of ice. So perhaps this is him. All right. Good shots from Barkus. Philia, you are up, and you can see Virga's head. Or not Virga, excuse me. You can see Amon's head.
Does a 36 hit?
Yeah, 36 does not hit.
Forty to hit.
40 does hit.
7 points of damage and 5 points of fire damage.
Okay.
And
I would say that the fire damage does seem to do more damage than you would at first expect.
Assuming that
26
misses.
A 26 does miss, correct?
And damage reduction is ignored for that one shot that does hit.
Okay, good to know.
All right, that's it.
All right, very good. And
we're still under. Wait, we're in a haste. I could do one more.
Okay, go ahead and make it. Ruka, I would say that you definitely are close enough to be able to tell that fire did seem to impact him more than just a regular shot.
Good.
Okay, 28 misses.
I mean, sorry. 38 is what I meant.
3-8?
Yeah.
That still misses, I'm afraid.
Okay.
It almost would hit, but it does miss.
All right,
that brings us next to him as he is going to push forward right at Ruka, and he's going to unleash a full round of attack on Ruka. Is Ruka flying or is she on the ground?
She is hovering. She's not touching the ground.
All right, fair enough. All right, here we go. All right, the first one. What is your AC? That'll help me, actually, just to make this easier.
Yeah, trade it back and forth. After enlarging, her AC is now 49.
49. All right. That is incredible. I applaud you.
It's gone down a bit as she's gone up in size.
All right, well, the first three miss. Uh, 47
misses.
All right, and then the next one is a natural 20. All right, only the natural 20 hits. That's all.
Yeah, that's all.
All right, it is 60 points of damage.
Okay, so is Ruka still in Jack's bubble?
You were 100 and you moved 110 feet. Let me see where we are in initiative.
Jack was before Ruka.
Jack moves after Amund, and you are moving ahead of the group. I would have to say for this, I don't think that you were still in the bubble, because you said you moved 110 feet, and her bubble is only 100 feet out from her.
Okay, so I get to roll this then.
Yeah, basically you dodged all the bites, the claws, the wing strikes, but it was that lashing frozen tail that you did not expect that was long enough to arc down and strike from behind, almost like a scorpion strike.
That was how much total?
It was 60. I think it was 60 on the dot. Yeah, 60 points of damage.
Okay. Okay, the armor is looking kind of cracked and not in so great a shape, but she's still there.
Okay. I mean, you just suffered a full round of attacks from one of the sons of Tiamat. I think you did pretty good. All right, next would be Jack, and Jack is going to move forward, thus bringing you inside the bubble. Maris is going to move up, and she's going to go ahead and charge to try to get on Amund as well and see if she can lift some of the pressure from you. So she's going to begin attacking, and I will roll those in just a second. Let's see. After her would be Ruka. So Ruka, think about maybe go ahead and roll your attacks and damage. You're looking for a 40. That's the AC.
Looking for a 40, okay.
Maris got two natural 20s in her attack lineup.
Wow!
I don't think anything else hit, though. One other just barely hit.
Yeah, that was can't there be one lower?
I'm afraid not.
I had 239 in my list.
How many of yours hit?
Got three hits. One unarmed, two claws.
All right, go ahead and roll the damage.
Okay, so Do I need to split out the bludgeoning slashing per hit?
No.
That is 120 points of bludgeoning slashing as two claws hit and finally got rend off.
And all right, hold on just a second. All right, so give me that first one again.
120 points of bludgeoning slashing.
Okay.
And 30 points of fire.
So 150 points, except the fire is doubled. So that's
180
points of damage. Very nice. All right, now, how many of your strikes hit?
Three.
All right. Then I need you to go ahead and make for me three. Reflex saves.
Does immunity to cold give any benefit?
No, it does not.
Sadness.
Hey, Maris has to do it too.
Right. Let me check. You need to double check all the buffs that are up to see what all bonuses. Ahmed is evil, I presume.
Yes.
So protection from evil applies. I'm at 28 on the first one.
All right. Hold on. Okay. Go ahead and roll the other two as well.
Twenty-nine on the last.
Okay, I need you to make two fortitude saves.
Twenty-three for the first. Garbage for the second. 13.
Okay. With that, then, as you strike, you get off your strikes. But when you're done with your strikes, you realize that you are stuck to the dragon. And the ice is freezing over your body. You are considered for this to be grappled pinned by the ice. You'll have to break that grapple.
Full out pinned.
Yes.
Oh, bother.
You have to break this grapple before you can do anything else, because the ice is essentially entombing you. And as you look over, you can see where Maris would be if she was not invisible, because of greater invisibility. But you can see where it's almost like an ice sculpture of Maris now adorns the side of the neck of Almond. And the rest of you, as you see Almond more clearly, you can see that there are other icy forms stuck to him, on his shoulders, on his back, hanging from his neck like macabre jewelry, and one that you recognize only because you've seen the attack done so many times. When a certain half-giant friend of yours would leap up into the air and come down on a target to imprison them in ice and freeze them still. And you can see sitting square between his shoulders, sword out in one hand, and one hand pressed down into the between his shoulder blades, the ice-covered form of Kalvikia. And that is where we will close for tonight. As you square off against Almond,
yeah,
and have a taste of what this Lord of Ice and Storm, the Fury of the North, can truly do.